Today on Brave, a message from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
In John 8 and verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. I'm the perfect one. I'm the holy one. In me, there's nothing wrong. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Everywhere you turn, it seems like someone has a new secret for how to live your best life. Commercials advertise new products and more travel, while movies promote the need for more wealth and power. But today on Brave, Pastor Jeff says there's only one way to live life to its fullest, and it shouldn't be a secret. We're continuing a brand new series on community called Better Together. And the place to go if you ever need to revisit one of these messages is our online platform, bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with today's message, Real Life.
Can we go before the Lord? Let's pray to Him this morning. Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise that's so rightly due to your name. Lord, we love you, we bless you, and we praise you. And Lord, our desire as the word is open this morning is that you would speak directly to our hearts. And Lord, that we would become who you want us to be, that we'd put into practice the things that you show us. And Lord, that you would get all the glory through that. And so now, Lord, we're ready to hear. So speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people who are ready to receive his word and put into practice what he showed, agreed by very loudly saying with me, amen. Amen. I want to encourage you, open your Bibles this morning to 1 John, the book of 1 John. It's towards the end of your Bible. And we're going to be in verses 5 through 10 this morning. If you don't have a copy of the scriptures, you can check under the seat here in Inglewood. Every other one has a Bible. If you're in Broomfield, I've been told that the ushers want to give you a Bible. So if you don't have one, just extend your hand in the air and one of the guys will bring a Bible to you. If you don't have a Bible, keep the Bible that you have. We want you to hear God's word and to be able to study God's word for yourself. Now, as we open up this section, remember, we started this series last week, and we talked about how the book of 1 John is very much like a photo album, a portrait of what it looks like to walk with God, what it looks like to be a believer. And as we open this book, we're getting a picture of, as a church, hey, this is what Christians look like. This is what we're like. This is what we're seen like. And in verses 5 through 10, we're going to highlight a little bit more of that this morning. And because there's only 6 verses, I'd love to read them, and then we'll unpack them together. Here's what John says. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, in this is a very difficult passage to outline because, as we talked about last week, John spirals and comes back and spirals and comes back and spirals and comes back. But the first thing that John does before he tells us anything is he gives us a picture in verse 5 as to what our God is like. And notice what he says. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. In other words, Jesus Christ, as we talked about last week, the God-man, told us exactly who he was. We saw him with our eyes. We heard him with our ears. We gazed upon him. We touched him. This Jesus told us a message. He directly gave it to us. We're telling you, and here's the message. Ready? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That's the message. Right? It means this, before we even get started. First point, God is perfectly holy. God is perfectly holy. There are no flaws with God. God is perfect in every way. There's nothing wrong with him, right? In Isaiah 42 and verse 8, he says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to others or share my praise with idols. God thinks of himself very highly because God himself is perfect. There's nothing wrong with God. Now, we may have a false view of who God is. We may think God messed up this, or God, if you're so good, then why did this happen? Or God, if this is really who you are, then why does my life seem to be indicating this, or all sorts of things? Make no mistake about it. Here's the message from the get-go. God is perfect. He's holy, he's righteous, he's true, and in him, get this, you're going to need this for later in the message, in him there is no darkness. God does not participate in darkness. Jesus and sin don't mix. God and sin don't mix. As a matter of fact, the message that the Bible starts out with is that God is perfect and he only takes perfect people. The question we should be asking every time we open up God's word, then how could anybody ever have a relationship with God if God is like that? That's a great question to ask, because that's the message John's going to answer for us this morning. God is perfect. You got to get that from the get-go, because we live in a world where the pendulum has swung so far from John 15 saying, Jesus telling his disciples, I have called you friends, and it's true. But the pendulum has swung so far to this side in our generation that for most of us, we picture God no more than a best friend or a good buddy or someone that we're in trouble we call upon, or God, I promise if you do this, it's the last time I'll ever do that. We see him as a last resort. We do not see him for who he is. Make no mistake about it. God is perfect. He's righteous. He's holy. He's true. There is no one other than our God. There's no one like our God. There's no one like our God. He's perfect. And in him, don't miss this, there is no darkness. There's not even a hint of darkness. There's not even a little darkness. That's why it was so awesome when Jesus was on the planet. Didn't he use these exact words? I mean, in John chapter 8, I believe, in verse 12, we hear Jesus talk about himself as one of his seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. And here's what he says in John 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. I'm the perfect one. I'm the holy one. In me, there's nothing wrong. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. In other words, Jesus is like, I'm the God man. I'm the God of all light. I'm the perfect one. I'm fully God and fully man, like we spent all last week talking about, and now I'm revealing myself to you, and in me is perfection. You've seen me, you've seen my Father. I and my Father are one. I'm the light of the world. That's what Jesus is saying. And apart from Jesus, we have no deliverance from sin. We have no guidance for life. We have no meaning. We have no hope. We have no nothing. And here's what you need to understand. In God, there is no darkness at all. And that can be a little bit scary for us, can't it? I mean, in Numbers 32, verse 23, here's a promise that Scripture makes. You can be sure that your sin will find you out. Did you know you can't even cover up your darkness? You can't even hide it from God. You can't just say, I love God and there's a little bit of darkness in my life. I love God. There's a little bit of things that I'm at. There's no darkness in him. You need to understand that. He's perfect and he sees it all. I mean, as I was thinking about this verse this week, I was taken to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Listen to this verse. This is why the light scares us sometimes. Hebrews 4 verse 13 says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to give an account. He sees it all. He sees it all. Now we may say we love that God's perfect, but in light of his perfection, we see that we're not. But here's the truth. He sees it all. And you will give an account for it all. For it's appointed unto man to die once, and after that face judgment. God sees it all. Now, how well do human beings do it with God knowing everything? How did our first parents do with God knowing everything? As soon as they had darkness, as soon as they sinned, what do? Dove into bushes, right? We're hiding from God. You can't hide from him. You can't hide from him. Many people don't come to church because they feel like, man, if I went to church, my sin would be exposed. Y'all, it's already exposed. God knows it all. You're not keeping any secrets from him. God is light. God is perfect. God is righteous. In him, there is no darkness at all. That's the message. Now, the question John's going to ask us is, then how do we respond? Because there's some negative ways to respond, and there's some positive ways to respond. And I've grouped those for us this morning so we can start with one negative response and then how we're supposed to respond positively. And then on the second page, another negative response and how we're supposed to respond positively. Because with God being light, how do we respond to him? And here's what he says. This is our first negative way. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. See, you hear that? I mean, here's the error. The error is that we falsely believe our lifestyle does not affect our relationship with God. We falsely believe that. We falsely believe our lifestyle does not affect our relationship with God. Do you know why we believe that? Because we've been taught that. What we've been taught is that, hey, Pastor Jeff, I don't have to worry about God being holy because God sent his son Jesus. He died for my sins. I believe he died for my sins and rose from the dead. So I can live however I want, and then God's obligated to forgive me. Let me tell you what the truth is, according to God's word. God loved the world so much that he sent his only son because he himself is all light. He himself is all righteous. He himself is all holy. He himself is all pure. In his son was all righteousness, purity, and all those things. Jesus Christ laid down his life on a cross and shed his blood because there's no one but no one that can get to God. God had to come to us. And Jesus Christ took our sin on the cross. In Jesus, there is no darkness. Isn't it amazing that from noon on, when Jesus was on the cross, what happened to the earth? It went what? It went dark. Why? Because for the first time in human history, God the Father took all the sin of humanity and put it on his son. The one in whom there was no darkness took on all darkness and was slaughtered on a cross in our place as a substitute for all of our sin. And he died and he rose from the dead. And he put to death sin once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous to bring you to God. And then anyone who would confess him as Lord has a relationship with him that no one can ever take away. That is the good news of the gospel. And John says, hey, I agree with that, but here's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, if you say, like if you speak with your mouth that you have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In other words, our lifestyle affects our fellowship that we have with God. Our lifestyle impacts the kind of relationship that we have with God. Yes, you can be saved to the full and not do anything because you didn't do anything to earn it. God brought you to himself. But if you're going to have an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, your lifestyle matters. You cannot live in sin and say you have a strong relationship with God. It doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, here's what God says. Here's what God says. Listen, because you won't hear this in church. If you say, Jesus and I are good, I lead a Bible study, I'll do all this, but you walk in darkness, here's what Jesus says. You're a liar. You're a liar. You are a flat out liar, right? But I believe Jesus died on the cross. You're a liar. That's what he says. I mean, let's take that one to heart for a minute, because we don't like that feeling. We like to think, I can do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, and God's obligated to take me to heaven because I prayed some prayer to camp 18 years ago so I can live however I want. Guys, in Christ, there is no darkness. You can't walk in the darkness and profess that you're a Christian. It doesn't work that way. So let's get this word walk for a second. You would think it's a pretty easy word. We all know what it is, but if we walk in the darkness, what does it mean to walk? I mean, we watch little children, if we have a family and they learn to walk, what are they doing? They're progressing from point A to point B. A walk is an advancement. A walk is a progression. If you are progressing in darkness, if you are advancing in darkness, if you are growing in your sin, while you say, Jesus and I have a strong relationship, you're a liar. You will not continue to grow in your sin if Jesus Christ is in you. It's an impossibility. How can God of the universe, the God-man Christ, through his Holy Spirit dwell in you and have you continue to advance in sin? It doesn't mean that you won't sin from time to time, but a walk is a advancement. It's a progression in. It's I'm going deeper in this. I'm growing in my sin. You can't grow in your sin and say, I have fellowship with God. You're a liar. That's what he's saying. And that's the error that many of us think. Well, I did what the religious thing told me to do. I prayed this prayer. I walked the aisle. I cried a little bit at the service. I felt God all around me. It's not about feeling God. It's not about doing something. It's about knowing that Christ is in you, the perfect one in whom there is no darkness. And if you say you have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, you lie and don't practice the truth. Well, what's lying? I looked it up. I want to know a clear definition of what lying was, right? Here's what it is. It's a false statement made with a deliberate intent to deceive. That's what lying is. It's a false statement made with a deliberate intent to deceive. It's intentional untruth. It's serving to convey a false impression. It means I'm saying this so that someone else will believe something falsely about me. I'm telling you I love Jesus, but my lifestyle doesn't reflect him at all. So I am a liar. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that Jesus told the Pharisees that their father was the devil, and what did he call their father? The father of all lies. John 8:44. Liar. You're following your father, the devil. The devil lies and says, don't listen to that pastor. Don't listen to him. You can live however you want. It doesn't matter. You can live however you want. It's God's job to love you. No, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. How you live indicates whether you truly have an ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what John's going to point out. For all believers, everywhere, you can go anywhere in the world, you have a walk with God. That's why Paul encourages us, and there's a lot of places I could have gone, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, what does he encourage the Ephesian church? Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. I mean, advance with Christ, walk with Christ, walk in the light with Christ, right? And here's what he says. If you're not walking with Christ, if you're not walking in the light of Christ, you're a liar and what? You are not practicing the truth. You're not practicing the truth. Now, when I talked to the men on Thursday, I was telling them truth is not a what, it's a who. Like Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, well, what is truth? It wasn't a what question, it's a who is truth, right? Because Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you're not practicing the truth, it means you're not practicing Christ. You're not walking with Christ. Jesus is not an ongoing part of your life. Why? Because when Jesus Christ came into your life through his Holy Spirit, his desire was to do a work in and through you to glorify himself through you. That's his purpose in coming in. His purpose in saving you was not so that once you became a believer, you would prove how good you were to God and start behaving rightly, and where you sinned, you ask forgiveness, and then behave rightly again, and then ask forgiveness. No, God is using you as his temple to get his work done for the world. And if you're his temple, yet advancing in sin, and you're his temple, but in God there is no darkness, you're deceiving yourself. You are lying to yourself. You're a liar. That's what he says. So that's how it is. Then here's the thing, like, what are we called to do? We can respond properly. Notice verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, then what happens? Then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. Here's the truth. Notice this. We are called to live in the light of Christ in all areas of our life. We're called to live in the light of Christ in all areas of our life. It means we're called to align every single area of our life with the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, for many of us, after we come to Christ, people start telling us about the biggies. Dude, don't swear anymore. If you're gonna drink, that's okay, just don't get drunk. Hey, you can look at porn a little bit, just don't look at it a lot and don't touch another woman. I mean, we try to do things to cover up our darkness. Here's what the Bible says. No, when you come to Christ and he's in you, you expose it all, right? And Jesus said in John chapter 1, when he came to the world, he was the light, that John was testifying to the light that was coming, the true light coming into the world. But the world did not comprehend it. The world did not understand it. The world didn't want it. And many of us don't like the light. There are things in the world that don't like the light. If you don't believe me, go on a camping trip sometime and go into one of those public bathrooms at night and turn on the light and watch cockroaches go scatter, right? They hate the light. Many of us, we don't like the light. We don't like to come to church because we don't want to get exposed for who we really are. And we run from the light, but we say with our mouth, Jesus and I, we're good. We're great. No, Christians embrace the light. Christians run to the light. Christians allow the light of God to penetrate the areas that have been dark so that God can pour his light through them. That's what it means to abide in Christ. That's what it means to walk with God. That's why for many people, you can be as religious as you want. You'll never be challenged for the rest of your life. I mean, let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you wept over your sin? I mean, when was the last time you like literally wept knowing that you broke God's heart over your sin? Was it Wednesday? Tuesday? Was it last month? Maybe last year? Was it like 18 years ago I trusted Christ? I cried in a crusade. I haven't cried since because now I know I'm saved. I mean, when was the last time? Because here's what we're saying. God is light, and in him there is no darkness, and he dwells in you, and he's wanting to do a ministry in and through you, and he's wanting to pour his love out through you, and he's wanting to do everything through you. And you're saying, I think I've always done what he wants me to do. It's a false understanding of the gospel. It's a false understanding of the gospel. The gospel is not God saved you so that he'd take you to heaven. That's a byproduct of what the gospel is. The gospel is that you are dead and God made you alive so that he could use your life to pour his life through you to other people. That's the gospel. The byproduct's that you get to go to heaven. And here's the truth. If you don't want God to pour his life through you now, why in the world would you ever want to go to heaven? Like, what do you think heaven is?
Well, I think there's good football there and I get to play again. And I'm
wrong. Heaven is a place to be in fellowship with God forever and ever. If you don't want him here, why would you want to go there? Right? That's the gospel. And here's what he says. He says, but if we walk in the light, what do we have? We have fellowship with one another. Who's the one another? Who do we have fellowship with? Who do we have fellowship with? We have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God. If I'm walking in the light, we have fellowship with God. We have an authentic partnership with God. We have a relationship with God. I hear God. I know God. I experience God. I love God. That's what it means to abide in Christ. That's what it means to have fellowship. And if I have fellowship with God, who also have fellowship? I have fellowship with everybody else who knows the same God that I do, this walking in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And what does he say? And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Comes from the word catharzo. It means to completely cleanse. It means to completely wash. It means you're not stained a little bit anymore. It means you don't have little bits of fragments of sin. It means you are washed, washed. It means you are cleansed, cleansed. It's more than tied clean. I mean, it is Jesus Christ through his redeeming blood washing you so that you are perfected in his sight. That's what it means to abide in Christ. And guess who does all the cleansing? He does. He does. John 8:31 says, and 8:32 says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the order of how you grow. How do we grow? We continue in God's word. We align our life with God's word. What is the word? The word is the written word of God that reveals the person of God, the God-man Jesus Christ. And if I continue in that and have fellowship with that, then I will know what? I'll know the truth. I'll know who? I'll know Jesus. We'll be intimately acquainted. The more I walk in the word, the more I align myself with the word, the more intimately acquainted I am with Jesus Christ. And the more intimately acquainted I am with Jesus Christ, then what? It's the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus Christ. What's he do? Jesus Christ sets me free. Jesus Christ sets me free. Do you know that in our world, we always want to work backwards? I struggle with anger. I'm going to work on it. How long are you going to work on it? You can't work backwards. God didn't need you to work on it. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for all your sins to redeem you, so then for the rest of your life, you'd work on it. Jesus Christ died for you because you couldn't do anything for him and says, if you abide in my word, you will know me and I'll be the one who sets you free. That's what fellowship looks like.
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub and the final part of a message titled Real Life. Keep tuning in over the next few weeks as we continue our new series on community called Better Together. If you've missed any part of today's message or you'd like to hear more from Pastor Jeff, head to bravemedia.online. As Pastor Jeff said, real change comes from the inside out, not the outside in. We're constantly told that if we have better things or live in a nicer home or travel to more places, we'll finally be living the right life. No matter what the world tries to offer as a replacement, there's only one way to live the life that we were designed for, and that's by building a real relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the pursuit that leads to eternal life with God and the only pursuit worth making. Here at Brave, we're committed to seeking a deeper, fuller relationship with Christ each and every day. And if you live in the Denver area and you've been looking for a church with biblical teaching, passionate worship, and a welcoming community, then we invite you to come join us in person at Brave Church. You can plan a weekend visit to our campus in Englewood or check out our venue in Westminster. We'd be happy to show you around and connect you with our growing church community and all the different ministries we offer. If you listen to this program from anywhere else, join us right from wherever you are through our weekend live stream. Visit bravemedia.online, then scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom to get all the details and directions. And if you have questions or maybe an encouraging comment you'd like to share with Pastor Jeff, we take time to read each and every message we get from listeners just like you. so reach out by emailing us, hello@bravechurch.co. I'm Bill Carl. So glad to have you with us. Join us next time for more biblical teaching of truth and encouragement right here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.